for scripture today is Psalm 13. It's on page 537 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Today is Father's Day, a day where kids scribble drawings on cards and scrape up money to buy their dads a tie. There might be a ball game on TV or a chance to barbecue with the family. I'd like to preach a sermon on Father's Day. I'd like to preach about my own dad, a man who gave me enough love in the first 14 years of my life to last a lifetime. I'd like to preach about my husband, who is celebrating his first Father's Day with his daughter, and how when I see the two of them together, I am certain I see the face of God in each. I'd like to preach today about Jesus and his relationship with his Abba, the way he taught us to have a new relationship with God, that God is as close as a parent, as dear as daddy. Yes, I'd like to preach about God, our Father, and all the love we see embodied in men and fathers among us. But I don't get to preach about what I'd like to preach about. It's because accepting the role as pastor, as our dear Rod will do today, means that we don't always get to do what we want. We don't even get to do what we had planned. Being a pastor means recognizing when the good plans need to be changed. As much as I'd like to keep to the plan, I know I wasn't ordained to that. And Rod, my friend, neither will you be. You see, because God has a way of calling us out, calling us away from the lectionary, away from the day's theme, away from our plans, away from the comfortable, away from the easy, and calling us into the real, the hard, calling us into ministry. Tragedy struck this week, and it cannot be ignored. It isn't enough to pause and pray and continue on as usual. This is not usual. What happened on Wednesday is an attack on God and God's people. And it comes on the heels of what seems like a barrage of attacks, but this one in the house of God. Maybe you feel like me, like this is just too much to handle, like you don't want to think about it, let alone talk about it. To be honest with you, I saw something on Facebook on Wednesday night, and I couldn't even look at it. I couldn't process it. We had spent our Wise Up Wednesday discussion on race and identity as we explored the rather strange circumstances of Rachel Dolezal in our ethics and faith class here Wednesday evening. So racism and what it means to be black in America was already on our minds. But then late that night I saw something I couldn't read, and yet I couldn't unread. Shooting in historic black church. By morning, I sucked it up and read about what happened to the historic AME church in Charleston, South Carolina. By Thursday evening, when the names were released, I let myself really take it in. And that's when it crushed me, because I could see their faces. I could imagine their sense of security when they gathered in their own home, God's own home. These were church people like you and me. Just like I had been gathered with some of you on Wednesday night study, so too were they gathered. Yet there was one profound difference. They were gathered in a black church in the South. Now they had a new person join them for Bible study that evening, a new person that they welcomed in showing love and respect as Christians are called to do. I don't know the full details of the story, but I did read that one woman was spared precisely so she could share the terror of what occurred. The young killer, a white man who uttered racial slurs as he ruthlessly gunned them down, he was captured. And many of us saw the images of him guided into custody in a bulletproof vest, juxtaposed with the image of Eric Garner as he was choked to death by his arresting police officer. One a mass murderer, the other sold cigarettes illegally. All the while, the Confederate flag flew high. The injustice is overwhelming. I feel like this monster is so big, I cannot imagine how to defeat it. I feel the shame of white privilege and the depth of white guilt. I feel helpless and angry and filled with sorrow and despair. I cannot help but echo the psalmist, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" There just aren't words. There are not words. I don't know the story of the young man, Dylan Roof. I do not know if he's mentally ill. I don't know that calling him that is not an offense to those who suffer from mental illness, further ostracizing those with an already challenging circumstance. But I know this, it is all too clear that this happened because of racism, blatant racism in our country, and because of the ease of accessibility to guns. The president said, "At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this kind of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. It is in our power to do something about it. It is in our power to do something about it." 2 days ago, the oldest known African American celebration took place. Although celebration might not be the best way to describe it this year. Juneteenth. It's funny, I missed learning about it in history class. I didn't learn about it in seminary either, even though nearly every black church in America celebrates it. The state of Texas actually honors it as a holiday. On June 19th in 1865, slaves in Galveston, Texas received word of their emancipation 2 months after the Civil War had ended and 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had gone into effect January 1st, 1863. Now, Juneteenth has been mostly a day of celebration, although innate in the very day is why it was celebrated in the first place. The dark and ugly history of slavery in the South, slavery in our nation. The question that cannot help but be asked, why the delay in delivering the good news? It begets a question that seems to resonate in my head, the same question of the psalmist, "How long, O Lord, how long? When will the violence end? When will freedom really mean liberation from this stain of our ugly past, the deep-rooted racism finally uprooted, the good news delivered once and for all?" And now as we seek to make sense of what happened this week, we cannot help but pause and jolt ourselves out of our normal, comfortable Father's Day celebration to ask those questions. How long? Father, how long? When? Why? We can't continue like this. I think finally we as a nation realize that. It's clear that the Black Lives Matter mantra has teeth. We can't pretend that this kind of thing isn't happening anymore. We live in an age where, thanks to social media, the violence that actually occurs on a daily basis is finally being recorded for the world to see. It wasn't but weeks ago that we saw kids at a pool party in Texas terrorized by a police officer wielding a gun. And then only days later, a similar occurrence in Ohio. It's happening everywhere. We're just finally hearing about it. See, we know that racism did not get buried when slaves were emancipated, that it didn't die out with the civil rights movement. It is alive and it is well. And we have to ask ourselves and our God, Father, how long? And I think our Father God has the very same question pointed back at us. How long, my children? How long? We have to look at our ugly past and we have to confess our ugly present. The president is right. We have the power to do something about it. We cannot stand powerless in the face of this terrible, terrorizing racism today. We have to move forward. We can't allow the kind of unbridled violence that exists in our country to continue. We must take back the power. What the psalmist may not have totally understood is that God is not working against us or somehow forcing us to plow through the pain and the violence in order to receive a cookie at the other side, a prize to win when God decides it's time. No, God is with us, empowering us to come up with the answers, the hard answers. It's so easy for us to just wring our hands and cry and wonder where God is. But the truth is, God is with us. We believe Emmanuel. God with us. We are with God. And we have God's power flowing through us. Now here's where all comes full circle. Because yes, this is a day to celebrate in so many ways. Father's Day, Rod's ordination, Juneteenth. But we know that God's heart is breaking. Like a father whose heart belongs to his children, investing all he has for their happiness, he gives his everything to hold them close. Imagine the heartache. To paraphrase Jeremiah 31, our God who loves us with an everlasting love is a father who loves his children, who gathers us together from the north and the south, the east and the west, who leads us beside quiet streams and shows us the way we should go. It's worth celebrating our God, our Father. Jesus called him Abba. He's our Father too. He's our Abba, implying that we are connected as a family. And therefore, we are our brother's keeper. An attack on my brother is an attack on me. An attack on God's house is an attack on us. Our church was violated. Our sisters and our brothers killed. Every father in America should rise up and say, no more. Every preacher in America should stop from business as usual and own up to the call to do God's business, because after all, that is what we have been called to do. This is what it's all about, Rod. Welcome to ministry. Welcome to the mess. And it's a mess. It's messy ministry where Father's Day is juxtaposed with terror. And we are called to ask ourselves to hold this tension, to hold it all, especially on weeks like this one where there are no easy answers. There's only one answer: to listen for God's call, to be bold, to be gentle, to be silent in the quiet, sacred space where grief is poured out and the spirit sigh is too deep for words, and to find voice, to give voice, to speak out when it is hard and uncomfortable, even when you don't know if the words will come. Speak, and God will give you voice. The truth is, church, this conversation is hard, and we don't always know the right things to say or do, but we know we must have the conversation anyway. In God's house and beyond. We must do it. It has to start here. If we do not, we will allow for this terrible trajectory to continue. And we know that it cannot continue. God has called for change. How long, my children? How long? But the call is not just to Rod or to pastors. It is to church people and non-church people. It is to our nation and to our world. We are connected. The great Father of us all has united us as one family, diverse and different, but brothers and sisters linked by divine parenthood. So rise up. Rise up, preacher. Rise up, fathers. Rise up for your children. Rise up for your brother, your sister, your mother, and your lover. Rise up and speak out. For God has called you. Amen.